And so, just like the thrill of getting a fucking tax return, we're back.
And mm-hmm. so, like, some of the money that you gave to the government, and then because it's on purpose difficult, they give some of that money back to you.
Uh-huh.
But you have to do a long, complicated math procedure
uh-huh.
in order to get, and we're back, some of that money.
Uh-huh. Now, I'm going to bitch about it even more.
Do you want to know something fucked up?
I do, but before I learn the fucked up thing, can we ring the bell?
Yeah.
I'd really, really like to ring the bell.
You can wait till everyone's ready here.
Bring it! Ah!
Or I'll jump the gun by, you know. Guys, I've been having an off fucking day, man.
Yeah, you have, mister. We're recording 2 hours late.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
Cut into my me time.
My God. Learn to spank quicker. Same.
Did you not hear the laundry list of things I have to do after work?
I am so burnt out. I need space. And here you come, inviting people over to Tom's house.
I was about to say, wait just a fucking second.
Goddamn second.
Which, they are always welcome, and we do appreciate you being here.
Guys, our boy Gage Bright is here. He does not know what we're covering today, and there's no fucking way that if he did know that he would have ever seen it. What?
He's seen it.
Nah.
He's a big ROH on HDNet fan.
Hold on a minute, brother!
I will say this. I have seen one episode of ROH... What did you say?
ROH on HDNet.
Thank you. That. Live. Or whenever it was fucking on. Once. I don't know. I could not tell you. Obviously, it was around this time, maybe a little earlier, I'm not sure, but yeah.
But see, what if I told you that this wasn't an episode of ROH on HDNet, and this was an episode of ROH Sinclair Broadcasting?
This was Sinclair Broadcasting?
Yeah, because
was this super early Sinclair Broadcasting?
Yeah, we're going to get to that later because I'm so fucking mad. Anyways.
What do we have for an undercard, fellas?
Tax time. Here's my fucking bitch and complaint, because you said you wanted to tell us something fucked up, and then I said we gotta ring the bell, so now you tell us something that's fucked up.
Do you know taxes in America are difficult to do on purpose because companies like H&R Block and TurboTax lobbied the United States government to make and keep taxes more complicated and to make them less accessible to people so that people would be forced to buy products like TurboTax and H&R Block?
I did not.
Did you know that?
I did not.
So I feel as if there's enough time has passed, and I don't even know if he works there anymore, so I can say this. I remember when I was 19 doing my taxes. I had no idea what I was doing. I was a busser at a restaurant. That's the end of it.
Yeah. You were only doing taxes because you legally were obligated.
Yes.
Correct, yeah.
And so I went there. The guy was like helping me out, putting in all my information, and he goes through, and at the end of it, he goes, "Oh, you won't be making much back." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You can't even afford to pay for this service." And I said, "Oh." And then there's that awkward silence. And then he kind of like looked around. And he said, "One moment." Got up, went to a different desk, talked to somebody, patted him on the back or whatever. Kind of looked down the hallway. And then as he's like fake typing out, he turns his monitor to me and he goes, "Take a picture." I pull out my phone, I take a picture, scrolls down a little bit more, types bullshit, take picture. All right, boom, same thing, through a few pages. Then he writes down on a post-it note every single form I just, like, took a picture of, how to get it, what to do, file it. And then he said, "I'm sorry I couldn't help you today, sir." And I said,
"That's actually right. Really cool."
And, what a bro.
And it was like, yeah, I got a whole, like, $120 back from my taxes.
But still.
But the fact that dude was, like, cool enough to be like, "I'll lose my job for you."
Yeah.
That's fucking dope.
That's badass.
Yeah.
My big fucking about this shit is, I am old, and I've been working since I was young, and every year on my tax return, I have gotten, within a couple $100s, the same amount back. Mm-hmm. There's like a variance of about $300 and some odd, right?
Tom, list off the details of your W-2s right now.
Absolutely.
Starting with
without
and then
question.
Give me your social security number
and
your tax employer notification.
Tom, claim
I'm not ever
going to
be
as a dependent.
Give some fucking money, please.
My point is that at no point has this ever it didn't matter who was in office, what the economy was doing, how many hours I worked, how much money I made. the swing from, I would have gotten my first W-2 in 2000. So, like, in 26 years, it has not changed, in my opinion, like, a large degree. You would have thought there would have been one random fucking year where it was like, wow, that's a lot of money. And maybe a year where it was like, shit, I got nothing.
Yeah.
But no, it's just been almost a completely straight line.
That is some points to the nothing ever happens gang, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But...
And it's because I don't have any goddamn fucking kids. And I'm not going to. Do you hear me, government? It ain't gonna fucking happen. Yeah.
Oh, oh, you're fine.
No, you don't work on this podcast. We are so unprofessional. Yeah. You have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm just the guest.
I'm
the outsider.
That's how I started.
On this show. Like, don't worry.
No longer.
I will not eat on the show again because...
You don't always know.
It does sound...
Last night was a bioterrorist.
Huh?
Connor last night was a bioterrorist. Only to me.
Yeah.
He was... Okay. It started off... mean, but, like, funny mean.
Okay.
Because he was wafting his farts towards me. Right?
Where was this?
We're in training.
Okay. We're training. We're standing in the ring together, next to each other on the aprons and stuff.
Right,
and I'm just farting, and I'm... Because I've been drinking a lot of protein shakes.
Yeah.
And so I've got these protein farts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was just wafting bombs.
And then I could get away. But then he would lure me in with good conversation or whatever it may be. And he started with the cup.
And I'm like, ever had a cup of fart, dude?
Yeah. I hate so that. For what? To no one else at any point. Not even an attempt.
Did... When I was, like,
in high school... I Alex pretty good with one.
When I was in, like, high school and shit, motherfuckers would fart into their hand and throw it, and they'd have ninja dust. Mm-hmm. Is that still a thing? Other kids?
That's what I was doing, but I was throwing... I was calling it cup of soup.
I have cup of soup, yes.
I hate it. Ninja dust is funny.
I never fully understood it, but it was undeniably funny.
You fully understood it.
There is nothing...
That's not the whole joke.
There is nothing deeper than a noose.
Why would a ninja throw dust?
That's your hang-up?
Yeah. I've seen ninjas.
I'm going to start doing it and call it pocket sand.
See, I know what that is.
Let's bring back
a key. But it's actually a... sand in from your pocket, going in your face. Cup of soup. Wait, sounds like you're about to take Campbell's to the fucking chin.
No, full tilt. Keep some actual sand in your pocket. When you're about to fart, remove a handful of the sand. Fart into the sand.
Fart into the sand.
Then.
The sand?
Or ninja pocket dust sand. Hi, babe.
Hey,
hi.
Meg.
Hey, Mom.
Hi. Hello. Brian and I love the pocket stand gimmick so much that the router at my mom's house is named Pocket Stand Shishisha.
Yeah.
Just so we're clear.
Well, we've unfortunately added to it with the phrase that will live in infamy, fart into the sand.
Can you smell the fart in the sand?
That was the original title of the Evolution song, but... They had to change it up.
Can you smell the fart in the sand? Can you guys imagine a shart in the sand? Trying to find out who left it. Smells like ham. Smells like ham.
I'm leaving this conversation.
We are firing on all cylinders, guys.
Meg, did you know that this program, this Ring of Honor program, was not on HDNet, but in fact on Sinclair Broadcasting?
I don't know what this is.
Oh, okay.
Before we get...
Well, then I'll go to hell.
Yeah, it's for the best that you go to hell as well.
You go to hell and you die.
What do you guys got for an undercard?
Do you have fancy glasses?
I don't really.
I got some fancy glasses from the store.
Nice.
I don't think I have anything for the undercard, to be honest.
Sale. $1 each.
Nice.
That's why I got three.
Oh, we watched that baller as fuck. What fucking match was that? Because it was so good. It was on Collision Dynamax. Huh?
Was it Takeshita and Mox?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was real fucking good.
Water's wet, sky's blue.
Yeah, Fork Founding Kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. They did the 20. They did the time limit draw, and they did it. It's a way that I always love when a time limit draw happens, where they are still just doing stuff, and it's just the time just runs out. Mm-hmm. Like, I appreciate a very well timed, you know, crawling for the cover,
dramatic,
or, you know, two. Oh shit, the bell rings. I appreciate that because it's just so hard to pull off. But I just really like when it's like guys are just going for something or just trading hits or anything, and just clock runs out. I always love that. That match kicked ass.
Mox and Mark Davis was real good, too.
Mox and Mark Davis was real good, and
fuck Mark Davis.
Gnarly.
All right, whatever beef you have with Mark Davis is fine, but it was a good match.
Oh, no. I sent a dick pic to my ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't good, either.
I mean, if he didn't want people to know about it, he wouldn't have done it.
Well, that's true.
That's for true, actually. See, that's why you subscribe to the WoW-Ed podcast.
It is
insider industry information.
Like that. Knowledge.
You know, whatever. Any hoozle. That's my undercard.
That was his undercard, too. Folks!
Folks!
Brunks.
And it's a real curtain joika.
Ayo.
I recently got hit up by Madhouse Luke to edit shows of theirs.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I'm broke and in need of money and have video editing software. So I edited together their show from Rochester from this past summer, All My Rowdy Friends. You learn a lot about wrestling from editing an entire show together.
I bet. Like, I've never even thought about such a thing, but like, yeah, you absolutely have to take something from that.
It's like you have to absorb every little bit of information while you're doing that.
I don't know why, but you drifted into an Arnold Schwarzenegger for like part of a word there.
And
you literally were like, yeah, you have to, and then
yeah.
I got to know.
But yeah, man, it you learn a lot, and then I made Tom and our good friend Old GB here do commentary on my match from that card, me versus the Huntsman, Jay Marsden.
What time did you tell Gageton?
Yeah, I told him to be here at 4:00. I was here at 5:04.
Yeah,
5:04.
Yeah, no response.
You got it backwards, is what you're trying.
I got it. I was here at the wrong time.
I read my watch going the other way, dude.
Other way, bro.
I like the idea that he had like an analog watch.
Uh huh.
So it doesn't even make sense, but he read it the other way.
I read it backwards. And upside down.
And upside down.
And also it's wrong. But I made...
If you wear a digital watch on your wrist, you're a coward. You're not
learn
a man.
To tell time.
You're not a man.
What if you have a smartwatch with a face that is...
Because guess what? I have a smartwatch, and look at that.
It's analog as fuck.
Hey, guess what, viewers? Yeah, okay, that's right.
I was just wondering where you sat on that. I don't really have a dog in the fight.
I know. I was waiting for somebody to say, well, what's your watch?
No, I look at my phone.
Yeah.
Night.
I got mine real big.
Bro, I left my phone at work while I went to McDonald's for lunch. I literally
Top
got,
five terrifying experience.
I got in my car, and I go, why isn't my phone connecting? I look at my watch... Oh, look, no, I guess it's not connected. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll find it eventually.
Put the CD on? Yeah. No, I just knew it was in the classroom, so...
Yeah.
I just put the CD... the CD I have in my car.
Yeah.
Which is...
what is it?
It's the Rocky IV soundtrack.
I never would have guessed that.
No.
If you gave me a million chances.
Yeah, I would have never...
It has been... That has been the only CD that has ever been in my car and that will ever be in my car.
That's you want a amazing. Copy of Linkin Park's it's, Meteora?
I own one, and it's not going in my car. Also, fun fact, I loved all of the Rocky movies. Creed 1.
They're good.
Creed 1 and Creed 3. I'd say Creed 3 is probably one of my favorite movies of... Creed 1 definitely my favorite. Yeah. Creed 1's my favorite movie.
Yeah.
Meteora is like a 40-minute album.
You could fit it on a 1 gig flash drive.
Yeah.
Meliora is the name of Ghost's third album.
Is it longer than 40 minutes?
I bet.
I would hope so. Linkin Park were the kings of the sub 3 minute song.
Dude.
Actually, no,
they're
I lied.
The perfect music video.
Yeah.
I lied. My favorite movie is Sinners. Followed by.
Also, Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
You're a big Michael Bay Jordan guy.
Michael Bay Jordan?
I mean,
oh my what does God. That movie Talks look like?
Guys, more explosions.
It absolutely ends on that Linkin Park song, though.
Yes, it does.
As
And now we're back to where we started.
As the listeners know, because we literally just talked about it last episode, big Michael B. Jordan, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, interestingly
enough, Joe Meyer was the villain.
Meliora is 42 minutes.
Oh, shit.
I do legit think
is an hour and 5 minutes.
That's a lot.
I think Meteora is actually like legit 39 minutes.
I was being serious. I'm very certain it's less than 40. Because I remember when that album came out and I was hyped for it.
And then it was over
before I got anywhere. I was like, wait, what?
You live in the country, so like you still had another 15 minutes of drive left.
I was like, I can listen to this 2.5 times before I'm even at fucking class. I'm in college. This is terrible. Like,
That's how I felt about the Linkin Park Jay-Z Collision Course.
It's so good, and it's...
5 songs.
That fast.
It is 5 songs. It's incredible. If artists weren't cowards...
That was going to be more of a thing.
I did. I wished.
And I knew that like some of them would have been bad. Like there would have been a couple of guys that like.
Have Puddle of Mud guy trying to sing.
Oh God, no! It would have happened though. Yeah.
I was trying to remember what the fuck.
The best kill. That's what it sounds like. In the meantime, hang me out to dry.
If I can't see you,
it's the best worst cover of all time.
I love that it just sounds like a weed eater at the end too. Just weed.
That might be one of my favorite things to play when you get into like the delirious zone of road tripping.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because it's just like the most annoying thing you've ever heard at 4 a.m.
That is very closely followed by Wesley Willis.
Yeah.
That's a good. You will wake up one way or another. That Puddle of Mud thing, you will be so angry from it.
Oh my god!
You could hate Puddle of Mud and hate Nirvana, and still you hear that, you're just like, this is fucking disrespectful. Now I'm fired up. We're almost back from Omaha. Let's fucking go. Like
I'm upset.
So, Gage, what do you think of the podcast?
You know what? I'm just enjoying being an observer. This is incredible.
This is where the magic happens.
NPR who?
This is where the sausage is made. Speaking of sausage, you know what sucks pork? This show. Connor, why did you pick... Let's get into this main event, because I've got so much to fucking bitch about.
So, I looked up ROH on HDNet on YouTube.
That's not what this is!
That's what I'm coming to find out live on air.
This
That's
came
what
up.
I'm coming to figure out live.
And
God damn it.
I saw Kevin Steen in the thumbnail.
Yeah.
And I saw that it was under an hour.
Okay.
And I said, what about this? And I just sent you guys the link before I even watched it.
Okay.
I love that.
I do too, and that actually makes make more sense to me.
Because I would have picked a better episode of Ring of Honor television if one exists.
I was befuddled.
I was pretty pleasantly surprised with the main event, though.
Because
I was like, hell yeah, man.
So, okay. This is one of my big things that's going to keep coming back as we go through this show. I loved Ring of Honor so fucking much. Like, genuinely changed my life, influenced me. So fucking much, right?
Same.
Brayden and me were going to a lot of the same shows unbeknownst to it.
Yeah.
Much further apart, obviously, and like where we are in life, clearly. But like...
Yeah, you were already 100 years old.
That's true. But
I saw the Age of the Fall happen for the first time, and before I even knew kind of what even was happening.
Like, that's fucking insane. I got to drive around Kerry Silken and talk to him for a while. I got a free hoodie. I got, like, let in once. Let's see, what else? I was on a... I drove Dreamwave alumni GT Vega. I drove him to Ohio. He got on a pre-show, like a dark match for Ring of Honor, right? I wasn't trying... I don't think I had, like, started... I was in training. I just hadn't, like, started having matches yet. So I knew that, like, I wasn't ready for something.
Yeah.
So we dropped GT Vega off so he could do setup, and then me and Coy went to a fucking strip club in Dayton, Ohio at, like, 2 on a Friday afternoon. It was awful. There was fishing on TV, and I was watching it. It was terrible. Oh, my
God! Dayton's finest out at 2 on a
Friday. Where every night is amateur night.
It was very late, very early. We came back.
Did Vega, you pay a cover charge to get in?
I don't think so, honestly. I don't think I did.
Just come in, man.
Yeah.
Please come in.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. We keep the doors open.
They're about to make him get on the stage, bro.
We keep hoping people wander in here not knowing what it is. Fucking... So GT Vega had a pre-show match against Tim Donst, and Vega shit the bed, and the crowd crucified him for it. This was also the show where there was a tag match on the pre-show, and one of the... they were a tag team in Chikara for a hot second. The Soul Shooters, I think it was.
Soul Touches?
Yes, perhaps.
Yeah.
One of them did cattle mutilation. and Danielson was on the show. So Pierce sent Dark City Fight Club to, like...
Send Dark City.
That's where this started.
Wait, that's where Send Dark City comes from?
I saw the birth of Send Dark City. So, like, this match is happening. Dude applies the cattle mutilation. The crowd... boos instantly, and they're supposed to be babe faces. And he pops up trying to, like, fire up or whatever, and the crowd's like, no, fuck you, you did the cattle, you fucking idiot. And all of a sudden, Dark City Fight Club are in the ring, beating the piss out of people, and they just fucking, everyone just scatters, and you can, like, I knew enough to know that, like, okay, they are not working. Like, the reaction of the guys, I was like, no one's character work is that good. That is genuine fear. And so, like, they go to the back, and then later that night, like, on the way home, I was like, Vega, what the fuck? And they're like, he was like, yeah, dude evidently didn't know that was Danielson's move, just thought it was a submission, didn't understand what the big deal was, and then Pierce was just screaming, Send Dark City. That's where it started.
Send Dark City.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that era of Ring of Honor, for me, is, like, what I loved. I loved that it was, like, a traveling super indie. I loved that a super indie could exist at that time.
Yeah.
Metal guardrails.
Metal fucking guardrails.
Steel fucking guardrails.
My favorite kind of... My favorite period of Ring of Honor was about a year ago when Ring of Honor was in Texas. Mm-hmm. There was a good tag match between Angelico and John Cruz versus Daniel Ryan. And who was his tag team partner?
Some handsome guy.
Oh, he's a fucking just the sexiest bitch I've ever seen.
Let's his ass got pinned like a motherfucker.
No, his ass did not. His ass has been submissive on the outside for some reason.
His ass was tapping out on the outside.
I was like, why did you? He's like, I don't know. I wanted to. Yeah, I had like a good like 9 minute match, heat and everything. Yeah.
It is super fucking cool that you got to do that.
Yeah, fuck yeah, it is. Yeah,
and like, even this, like, current version of Ring of Honor being so fucking far from what it was.
Yeah,
and, like, it's still cool to say you wrestled for those letters.
For sure, and, like, not the previous episode, but my last pick, Lucha Underground. Like I said, big Lucha Underground guy, and Helico is one of my dudes.
Yeah.
Wrestling him.
Oh, yeah.
I got to start the match with him.
Yeah,
that's awesome. What I mean?
That photo is
fucking
awesome.
So cool.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, I modeled my gear after him. I did, like, a side-by-side. This is fucking crazy. But like
you used to be big with the fucking baseball gloves. You fuck
it. It was because of him.
And I thought it was AJ Styles.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, but no, it was Angelico.
I never made a connection because I think I was young enough to not question why you're wearing gloves when I first saw you.
Yeah, my entire moveset was just Lucha Underground. If you just watch the first season of Lucha Underground, you'll go, oh, that's where he's. Oh, that's where. Oh, that's where. Oh, that's.
I've heard my Steven Wolf is in the maroon and the yellow gimmicks with the fuzzy vest. The
49ers colors?
Yeah.
With the gloves?
Uh huh.
Yeah. Okay. The gloves. Okay.
That's my Steven Wolf. And it's on Matt Cage's retirement show, LOL.
Also, for anybody hearing this, I'm pretty sure the tag team of Connor Hopkins and Steven Wolf would beat the shit out of Team Over the Hill.
Team Over the Hill.
Holy shit.
Okay. Yeah. Oh my first God. Things first, I'm going to fucking punch you in your piss pipe.
Neither of them on Twitter.
I'm a rage. No, but we still do, and it's great. I've edited his photos and put them on Twitter.
He's recently told me about how much joy he gets out of shit-talking me and Cage on Twitter, knowing that we can't respond. I was so dangerously tempted to actually start another new account with and only respond to those tweets, thusly making people believe that it was you doing a parody account.
You're doing a Tom roleplay Twitter.
And then I decided, no.
That's it, Robin's I think you should leave style.
Make a parody account of me to respond to your own shit.
Tom, your next tower, once you hit it, your next evolution is I think you should leave Tom.
You've just become a Tim Robinson character.
Yes.
I start posting Snapchats where I'm responding to your tweets. You can't see the tweet, but somebody told me what they said was this, so here's my response.
And then Dreamwave just says, well,
I'm going to sign up for Tout.
For some reason.
I don't remember Tout.
On MySpace, Christian Rose has this to say.
MySpace has done a big comeback, guys.
Yeah, I thought it was just for musicians now.
What?
Yeah. Didn't Justin Timberlake buy it?
Is that what the story was?
$8.
I mean, I was in fucking grade school, so it's probably not true.
Loose Euro meat.
Whatever happened to the dude from MySpace? The dude that like...
Tom? Oh, Tom?
Whatever happened?
Tom's right here.
He's right here.
Okay, sold it all. The other Tom.
He sold it.
How do you think he got all those Miller Lights in the fridge?
Oh, yeah.
How do you think...
MySpace for beer.
Look at that. You want to know what MySpace got him?
Yeah.
That big-ass Bart Simpson.
Bart Simpson.
God damn it. I forgot. Barty. Who turned Krusty around?
Oh, wait, I didn't realize that was a thing.
It turned itself around.
No, don't ever do that. I swear to God, if you do that in the dark, I'm throwing hands.
wait, perfect segue. Speaking of clowns.
Yes.
Michael Elgin starts out the show.
Okay, dogs, here's the thing, guys. All right,
we're going to talk about Large Aaron?
We're talking about...
Aaron Fogle.
We're talking about Ring of Honor TV from syndication via the Sinclair Broadcasting Network. This was broadcast on September the 15th of 2012. Now, as I can understand it, it was taped on August 11th, then aired here, and is being used to promote shows that are happening even in October.
Yes.
Okay.
I could not have paid attention closely enough to follow that.
I was so deeply confused that I was like, no, I won't let this outsmart. Like, I
will. Well, because the show, the wrestling was filmed, like, you know, the month before.
August 11th, yeah.
But the Kevin Kelly pre-tapes and stuff, that's all being filmed. They're flying out to fucking Baltimore or whatever and filming those that week.
It was just crazy to me. This was where I first got confused as to why you picked this, because I was like, this is a clip show. So I was so lost.
No, I had no idea.
It was, I don't know. But yeah.
But Aaron Fogle.
Yeah.
You notice how that kind of sounds a lot like Jared Fogle?
Yeah. They all kind of look or sound like it, you know?
Yeah. And or, in this case.
And or.
The promo picks for this match.
Him standing there in his fucking leather fucking trench coat.
Dude.
Waist vest, long vest.
You see, he is 25 years old in this.
Oh my God.
That is what they, that is because they did put the stats up.
With those ages. Promo picks that were taken by a fucking Game Boy.
Yeah.
Like, so, okay. Charlie Haas also cuts a promo before this match even gets... Or this promo even starts. Charlie Haas cuts a promo about beating children. And And I said, it's, got it.
Dude, I literally wrote
problematic
down...
Problematic at best.
Charlie Haas promo, he and Rey Mysterio beat their kids. Oh my god.
Wait, okay, so who does Charlie Haas... Yes.
Okay.
Who does Charlie Haas have kids with? Because it's someone in wrestling.
Jackie Gata.
Oh, yeah. Wow, yeah. I kind of think...
Man, Gata's that. Bitches better be wearing jimmies. Man.
He's the outlaw here.
Which I didn't know that was ever... This is all an era of Ring of Honor that I know nothing about.
Me neither, man. Yeah. I'm coming to find
that... We want Shelton.
This title... Yeah.
Yeah.
This is all bad.
Here's this was thing. Not...
This is a dark
Speaking time. Of things that never change with me, Shelton Benjamin has been my ringtone since, like, second grade.
I'm coming.
That ain't no stopping.
Wait, I'm
that, gonna, oh my god, that's racist. MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, there, you know, I'll give you pass one. Not that kind of pass.
No.
A pass on this. Calm down.
Damn.
I saw that glint in your eye. I saw it. He actually earned another one while you were gone, by the way. Off air, Braden earned another one. I'll give you a pass. Your girlfriend's black. And... You know, common mistake. They are in a group together. They've been in a group together.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you. It's all right.
Shelton has better music, though.
Yes,
he has. That Ain't No Stopping Me, John,
mm-hmm.
was tight as fuck. Yeah. I used to mow the lawn to that shit.
So, fun fact, if you pay attention to the lyrics, it's actually, like, kind of a Christian song.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's about how he gets strength from the Lord, like, from the man above.
One of the... few times that, like, pro wrestling really made me laugh was there was a promo for John Morrison versus Shelton Benjamin, and John Morrison says, Shelton, your theme song says, Ain't No Stopping Me Now, which technically means you could be stopped at any time. It's just science. And it, oh, man, that's, I laughed
you,
so hard.
You said John Morrison, like, you're like, John Morrison, WWE. I was like, no, his name's John Moxley, not John Morrison.
No.
And I'm like, wait, no, that was Dean
Ambrose. That's a different John, dude.
That's a different white guy, brother.
Oh, yeah, see, dude.
No, I'm the racist.
Yes!
We do all kind of look the same.
You know what? It's Black History Month. Y'all can't tell me nothing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I love Charlie Haas. This ain't great.
This is not.
Thank you. Because, okay.
Good as a tag team guy.
I resented Haas, this match at a certain point.
Are we not going to break down the promo beforehand?
Oh, yeah, shit. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
This promo was...
because if we had to be forced to fucking watch it, we're going to talk about it.
So it's in-ring promo after Charlie Haas promo.
Yes.
Yeah.
House of Truth.
Yes.
Which is, of course, Truth Martini.
Yes.
The Hoopla Hotness with the House of Truth book.
No, there's no Hoopla Hotness out here. It was just Truth.
Oh, and that's right. He's not doing the Hoopla Hotness anymore.
Right. So it's just Truth, Elgin, and Roderick.
Yeah. Wow, they didn't even bring out the gut dang.
Yeah. No hotties. No nothing. No wow. Take your no pants hoopla. Off. No nothing. So anyways.
No hoopla?
Huh?
So no hoopla?
No. No hoopla. You good? You gonna make it?
It was a very silently Stop. Funny exchange okay. that just happened.
And then he kept saying, fucking hoopla.
Hoopla!
Hoopla!
That reminds me of the SpongeBob episode.
Hoopla!
Sounds like a lot of
hoopla!
Sounds like a lot of
hoopla!
Sounds like a lot of hoopla.
Hoopla!
Rock bing!
Sounds like a lot of hoopla to make over a sandwich.
Oh, man.
Except this sandwich is Truth Martini, Michael Elgin,
and Roderick Strong.
A very this stinky sandwich.
So oh, no! Confusing. It's
Why
a
did
sweaty
you use
one.
That word?
We're a team, but we don't like each other.
Stank.
And I wouldn't cause you to lose your match if need be.
Roderick Strong goes on strike.
Yes!
Roderick Strong goes on It's that, so awesome.
That was fucking amazing.
Dude, this is an all-timer Roddy episode for me.
Episode?
Episode.
I know what That's an episode is.
It's Hopkinsism.
Oh, it's back with a vengeance. I was so confused by this fucking promo until it got to the point where Roddy says, what if I go on strike from the House of Truth? I'm on strike from the House of Truth right now! And just walked out of the ring. And I said, that's something. Then this match happened. And I resented it so much because... Do you have notes on the match itself? Because I've got a couple.
Black and silver. The House of Truth are the faces?
Maybe.
That commentary call was not pre-recorded at all. Like they go to an ad break, but it's so clearly like they were doing commentary live. And then all of a sudden it was, we're going to a commercial break right now. We'll see. Like, but it was
to be honest, audio tone and whatnot. Anyway, I was okay with it because yeah. I was like, all right. Yeah. Like,
it just made me laugh.
That means that the commentators aren't getting messages. They're just
yeah.
That's kind of how I rationalize.
I like that. I was like, at a certain point, Kevin Kelly talks about like getting something from the back, and you know that he's totally not, and he's just
yeah
doing that shit on the fly.
I actually wrote down that I love this format and I love this type of wrestling show where when I'm watching it, I'm like, I know this is not live, and they're not trying to convince me that it is. Like, I like that type of a wrestling program.
Yeah.
But just not this specific example of that type of a wrestling program.
It's the old ECW format.
What? It really is. And it's very similar.
I have a couple of more notes on this match, and then we can get to whatever.
Dude, I just wrote down, like, oh good, leg heat. Because the first the first 8 minutes of what felt like a 40-minute match, they're just doing shit. Yeah. And it's not for any purpose. And I was like, this is why I started to sour on Elgin's work. Because he would just eat up the fucking clock early on so that his matches were long.
Yeah.
None of the shit in the first third of his matches ever fucking mattered at any point past that. There was never a, we do this here so that we come back to it later, or if we start with this, we'll pay it off here. It's just, hey man, let's go fuck around for 6 minutes. Then we'll do some this, that, and the other. I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
Working with him, can confirm that.
Thank you.
Actually, I can confirm that indefinitely.
Wait, I didn't know you worked with him.
I worked with him a few times, actually. Glory Pro.
There
was a time when, like, I was just trying to get on, so I would just be an extra person, right? Somebody canceled, so I was able to get into a scramble. And then it just so happened I was going to the show again, and then somebody canceled, and Elgin was like, hey, you're going to be in the tag match. It's going to be you and Vega versus me and Everett Connors. And I was like, oh, okay. And then he cut a promo afterwards, putting over how I came to the show and stuff like that, and now I have a permanent home in Glory Pro. And I was like, fuck yeah! And then...
Yeah.
And then Elgin happened.
And then Aaron happened.
Yeah, Aaron happened.
Yeah.
I had a singles with him at Dreamwave and a four-way with him for Beyond Wrestling.
But did I actually train with him a little bit? I think that's it.
Really?
Once a week, I would go down there for like a month, it was, or something like that.
Once a week, you would go for once a month?
Yeah, once a week, I would go. It was about a month span. Sorry.
I had this moment where I was like, how the fuck did you do that?
I'm a wrestler, not a fucking talker. I don't know why I'm on a podcast.
It's called a promo, kid.
Oh my god.
Gotta learn how to add a cut. Wait, that's a John Cena line.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, shit. It is. Uh-huh.
Why did I think it was Stone Cold?
Because you died like, why would you do the water?
To me, every good promo in WWE because Stone Cold.
Because of that, made me in that position. Roman Reigns, I appreciate you.
Oh.
You know what you just earned?
Suffering.
You know what you just earned right there? You know what you just earned? What's that? A dap up.
A crisp handshake.
Yes. No, it was a dap up. That's different. A handshake is just, traditional. A dap up, actually, a little Black History Month fact for you. Soldiers in war, because... Black soldiers were more like cannon fodder, and they would actually be sent onto the front lines that way, and for some white soldiers to just be like, oh no, they died, bah, shoot in the head. So the dap up was created between black soldiers to tell them, hey, I got you, you got my back, like, I got your back, like, we're not gonna let anybody try to fuck with us.
I did not know that.
Yeah, well, you know.
Huh.
And happy now black we can claim that we're educational, too.
Yeah. Happy Black History Month.
Oh, my God, that's true.
Noted black guy, Stephen Wolf.
You guys never had a nigga like me.
That's for true.
So I got match times for the two matches.
Is it really only two matches?
Yeah, because... Yeah. I had a point of confusion, and then it all made sense to me at the end, but...
Because it was, like, commercial break, and then, like, I was like, wait, what? It was confusing for me as well.
So just for shits and giggles, I'm not even going to keep track because there's only two. How long do you guys think this fucking match with Charlie Haas and fucking Elgin was?
18 minutes.
20 minutes past what it should have been.
Oh, no. You can't possibly.
Okay, so we're doing...
You know, logistically, it can't be.
So, it's two segments, right?
Yeah!
And, like... There's, like, a Charlie Haas promo before.
Connor!
Promo before. And, like...
No!
So, I'm gonna be, like... I don't know. Like, I don't think it was that long... So as they were maybe perhaps 20 or 18 minutes. However, I would say that it is half, maybe.
Maybe half of 20 minutes? Okay, so like
it's maybe half of 20 is just a little too high.
Oh, okay. My God.
But mayhaps
yeah, maybe
half of 18 is just a little too low.
Yeah, that'd be 9.
So
you're saying it's between 9 and 10?
Betwixt 9 and 10.
More on the low end, right?
Probably closer to lower.
So would you say it's roughly like in the 5 to 12 range?
Yeah.
No.
No.
No. No, not 5.
I'd say it's closer to 10 to 12.
9 and a quarter.
And it's not 10 or 12.
Ah, shit, 9-11 it is.
I can't breathe.
Well, you grotesquely undercut yourself while forgetting America's tragedy and seeing fully.
No, I remember.
If we
both remember, Tom, I remember it every day. I'm like the human Israel. I'm on attack from all sides.
I'm gonna go with 12 minutes.
It's 14:41.
Damn!
Hell yeah!
Somehow 9/11 did not yield victory.
It almost did.
It did domestically.
I wanted to like this match because I like Charlie Haas, but unfortunately, it's just kind of nothing.
Dude,
it's
just
they don't do shit.
It's fine.
Even though Bush did 9/11, still a better press.
Fucking, I thought Elgin was really good at selling the leg.
Yeah.
But there's nothing.
Oh, no, he's gonna find our Instagram.
But it doesn't like.
Does the podcast
matter.
Have an Instagram?
Yeah, yeah.
No,
it's going to. I'm gonna make one.
Oh no,
I'm make the podcast. You heard that here, folks. It's going to be an Instagram for the podcast.
But yeah,
I don't
it
know
never
what I'm
fucking
post on it though.
None of the shit ever fucking matters in the match. And then Roderick's back out.
Roderick's drinking beers.
Yeah,
he's having a hell of a time.
He's on strike, and he's sitting on a lawn chair drinking these beers. And I'm like, okay.
The beer thing I thought was stupid.
I didn't get it.
It's the first time something happened in the match, and I hated it. So I was like, come on, man.
I thought it was pretty funny, but I do think there's a better way to do it. I think that the TV show probably didn't do it any favors because it's promo and then immediately, I'm out here protecting your match. When it probably, that match probably happened later on in the show.
Right.
But,
yeah.
Like, I think it's a funny idea, and this is something that I've noticed with wrestling lately, is it's, at least around us, become, like, way more, like, kid-friendly and, like, PG and, like, stuff. I don't know, at least around, like, nobody has a bit where a wrestler comes out and has a fucking 12er of Keystone Light with them, you know?
Right.
Like, the fact that Roddy was out here drinking beers during a wrestling match felt like...
The shit that
It was weird. Like, you don't see that very much.
I think it's not just necessarily because of that.
At least where I'm at.
I think it's because of the fact that they want their wrestlers, or, like, superstars, whatever they call them, to be more, like, athletic or be kind
of
above doing that.
Because, like,
yeah,
Roddy
exactly. Like,
presumably has a match later in the show, too.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
yeah,
like,
you don't want your employee being a role model to somebody when they're, like, cracked out, you know what I mean? So nobody can be like, yeah, I do drugs.
Like, that's the passage of time. Like, the fact that, like, Steve Austin was the biggest babyface in the world and was, like, basically a go fuck you, fuck your boss, do whatever the fuck you want, drink beer, raise hell, this, that, and the other, beat the shit out of anyone.
Because that's what everybody was doing back then.
That's
nobody's
how people,
dangerous.
That's how people felt
now.
At the time, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, no.
Gunther's dangerous.
Yeah, big time.
Okay, but, like, all of these, the guys that feel dangerous now are dangerous in a very wrestling sense. And not a very,
next
like,
Monday Night Raw. He's got a gun!
Can I go with
yeah.
Can I throw a small side tangent about Gunther in real quick that I realized a couple days ago?
Please do.
He has achieved something that I didn't think could happen, in the sense that if you think about it, they don't hate him because of his actions. They hate him because of his character. He's got all this heat right now from retiring people. He won the matches. Clean.
He's deaf.
He just won. Mm-hmm. But people hate his attitude and his character more. To me, I love that, and it's so hard. It's so few times has that ever happened in wrestling history, because normally it's like, boo that guy because they kicked my baby face in the balls, or because he hit him in the head with the chair, or this, that, and the other. And it's like, he's getting all this heat by winning and by bragging about it and being a dickhead about it, but he's just winning the matches. It's like, remember when the New England Patriots were like the most hated team in all of football, and it was because they won so much for so fucking long. That was the issue. They just fucking won everything.
That's literally my character, besides the winning matches all the time part. That's the part
I would love missing. For someone's character to involve them winning matches.
You know,
my character is that I never lose.
Greatness Marcellus Gaines, 52-0.
Right.
Until they said, hey, you gotta lose. And I was like, oh, all right.
My whatever. Finish, which I must hit in every match, is you looking up at the lights for 3 seconds.
It involves you laying down.
Okay.
If I don't hit my finish, people go home unhappy.
Well, he must pose.
I can't.
What was that?
Team over I the think, hill.
This, fuck you,
this man. Note here,
book it someone. Chop the shit out of this old man.
Oh, dude, I don't think that I've ever seen a Ring of Honor crowd more still.
Oh, yeah, dude, this crowd is dead. This crowd is small. They are not into this match.
They don't care whatsoever about any of what's going on.
Now, I popped huge for Charlie Haas winning, regardless of the circumstance.
Which I also thought was shocking, because they were putting over Elgin as, like, you're a world title contender. So I thought...
No, he is a world title contender. They did a promo later on.
Right!
He's actually facing Kevin for the title.
So I did pop for Charlie Haas winning, because I was like, huh? In the sense... I thought this was going to be a classic trope that wrestling does way too much, where this guy needs to look strong going into his title match. We know who's going to win this match, but let's make it long so everyone looks good in it.
Yeah.
And then they flipped it on me, and the other guy won. So I was like, oh, shit, cool. The problem to me was I was like, the finish was just a fucking...
I all got this beer time, in me. On me.
All
beer
this time.
In me. On me. Oh, no.
Beside me. What?
Yeah, I just...
You
I
stupid know. Sons of bitches.
I wrote down, I wish I had all my old ROH shirts, because I had so many of them.
And why'd you get rid of them, man?
Because
he couldn't give them to you.
Couldn't, well, yeah, honestly, that, but, like, I couldn't fit into them anymore, and I needed the money, so I sold most of them to Zack Sawyers.
Beatus, give me that shit, man.
Yeah.
Zack Sawyers came up recently on the Higher Ground show in Minnesota.
Oh, hell yeah.
That I was at. We were talking about his fucking Beatus music.
Oh, it's just the best.
And I was like, I felt called. I was like, I know the lore.
Zach, specifically, if you have that No Remorse Core shirt, give it back to me. I'll cut it into a really obnoxious crop top.
Beatus, my meatus.
There's a Kevin Steen promo here.
Yeah.
And I didn't like it, but I was fascinated by it. Because I know Kevin Steen, especially at this point, I know he can cut a fucking... ripper, amazing promo. This is, we're post the Steen Generico feud. Yeah. I know shit. He can do these promos.
The Godfather's coming to Dreamwave, dude.
Shit, yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
I love the Godfather.
Woo! Train!
He's gonna be so fucking high, and yeah. So are all of us.
Yeah.
Give me a hell yeah.
This promo just wasn't it, though. Like, it was clearly written for him, and he's just...
in. Yeah.
Just did not like it.
I'm sorry. This is a comment I just got on one of my posts on Instagram. Killer abs. Belly button on point, Pop.
How did you work on your belly button?
I don't know, and I'm wearing a shirt for the majority of the video.
Ah.
Which is even weirder.
I can't flex a belly button. Then there's a Mike Mondo promo.
Holy shit.
Ah!
Fucking Mike Mondo?
I don't know how to feel about it, because it was a whirlwind of emotion, because I was like, holy shit, Mike Mondo, that's what he looks like? He was in Ring of Honor? There was so much that I didn't even get to, like, process it.
Yeah, same. That, like, this promo and this whole little segment here, I'm a guy, like, it's hard for me to feel my emotions. This shit had me feeling some kind of way. Like, okay, it seems like he's just cutting this promo about how I made out with your wife, I'm going to beat the shit out of you, and she's going to leave you for me.
Yeah.
But I think he's supposed to be the babyface.
That's what I was getting, yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I'm supposed to cheer for you, Mike Mondo. I like Mike Mondo.
Yeah.
And I like his
above
work.
Above average?
No, that's Mike Sanders.
Oh.
His hair here is insane.
What the fuck is it?
It's like they poured bleach on him at an angle and just left it.
I don't get the whole no fear thing. I think he swapped nicknames with Jeff Hardy at some point.
What are you talking about? That's
because
cero.
He's
miedo.
Dude,
that's literally what it means in Spanish, is zero fear.
I get that.
Do you?
Yes.
Are you sure? Man, I'm sorry. I pick on Connor a lot, so I gotta spread it out a little bit.
Moving on. The rest of that note does not matter.
No, this fucking, it's true. Everything you write down matters.
I fucking did not like this.
Dude, this... I don't give a shit about Mike Mondo, unfortunately, here. Mike Bennett supremacy.
Yeah. Also, the fact that it's building to a hot mic-on-mic action match.
I literally... Oh, my fucking God.
Dude, we got to...
I literally wrote down hot mic on Mike action.
Yeah!
Let's go. Dude, we actually got to work with Mike Bennett in the same match.
Yeah.
It's fucking dope.
Mike Bennett's awesome.
I love
Mike Bennett. Mike Bennett is the Chad in that feud, and he wins. And he goes up clean with finish.
Dude, I'm not kidding you. You might have been the last person that I pinned at Dreamwave.
Okay, well, no need to bring it up, dude.
That's crazy.
The last person to pin me, dude, was fucking several people.
There's a smash cut here to this Adam Cole promo, and when it smash cuts to Adam Cole, I said out loud to no one, Connor?
And now you know who I've been aping my fucking shit.
I mean,
after.
I already knew. This was just a strong reminder.
And to echo that a little bit, this next note is often a comment that I've said to Connor sometimes during certain looks that he's had. I said, baby Adam Cole looking like a line cook on a smoke break.
It's very true, though.
But, like, the pizzazz that Adam Cole gave in his promo, baby, that's what I was kind of expecting from Steam.
Yeah,
you know,
I thought so too.
You know, yeah,
this was really checked out.
Yeah.
So Adam Cole cuts this very scripted, very ham-fisted promo about his very good friend Eddie
Die Hard Eddie Edwards.
It is very hard for me in wrestling to really believe that this person and this person are friends, because there's times where I've seen it and like you can feel it, you get it, whether and it doesn't. Benoit and Eddie, I believed they were friends. The moment somebody said that to me, I was like, oh, that tracks. And I've only ever seen them against each other. You know what I mean? Like, somebody says Scott Hall and Shawn Michaels are friends. You're like, oh,
obviously.
I get it.
Yeah.
This all fucking tracks. When wrestling tries to force that shit, I just don't.
They really tried to make
it.
They tried to make it like a friend group of like Eddie, Davey, Kyle, and here's also Adam Cole.
Right.
And it was like, okay, you have the shootery guys, you know, under the cult of Davey Richards, but, like, Adam Cole was never that guy. He was just Kyle O'Reilly's good friend.
Exactly. And that creates that disconnect.
Yeah.
So then when he's trying to cut this promo about it, I'm like, to your point, I'm watching this promo and thinking, like, I believe you're a friend of a friend. I don't believe that you have that type of a fucking bond. You know what I mean?
You guys are cool in a group, but you guys aren't like gonna hang out one.
You aren't boys.
110%.
You're not boys. You don't text.
You're not that guy.
You don't text. You don't text.
You're not that guy's pal.
You're not that pal's buddy.
You're not that buddy's guy.
I kind of liked this version of the TV title.
It looks so fucking cool.
I like the old school, like, camera graphic or
piece
in the middle.
It's definitely a choice, yeah.
I think it looks neat.
Okay.
They play some,
Wait, he's got your wrist wrap.
Oh, god damn it, Mike, dude. Go to him.
He likes that Velcro, dude.
Gage, you're just gonna let him do that?
I don't know what it was.
What the hell, Gage?
It literally says breaking limits.
I couldn't see that. He must have chew it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
I know
it's
your eyes
a good
work.
Dog
you're a great commentator. I know
this is coming out of my pay, isn't it?
It is.
You think we're gonna pay you?
Well, that's just the default response to anything.
Time out. You get paid?
Hold on. You're getting paid?
How do we make money on this podcast?
Braden.
They play a Glory by Honor 11 thing.
Hey.
Yes.
They say Chiampa a couple of times.
Thank you.
Chiampa.
You son of a bitch.
I opened it. It wasn't opened.
I literally wrote
God
down.
God damn it. Because I just been.
Fucking house.
God damn it.
I literally wrote down. What a bizarre pronunciation of Chomp.
Take it. Have a big old gulp.
Connor, you were watching this shit at the time. Is that how they pronounced his name when he started there?
I don't know. This is the first I've ever heard them say it like that, because I think they soon got corrected to Ciampa. But Kevin Kelly always has a weird fucking pronunciation for everyone's fucking name.
There are so many ads on this show. It's unbelievable.
That should have tipped me off to it being a Sinclair broadcast.
Yeah. Also, I actually liked the way that the HDNet show looked. They had, like, a really good, a bizarre kind of, like, a boom shot that they would use on the ring that was, like, that weird almost video game angle that I really liked.
Yeah.
When AEW does that fucking video game angle on Dynamite, I'm like, do that. Only ever fucking do that. It looks
That's
awesome.
Just, yeah.
It differentiates you from everything else. Everyone that is watching wrestling knows and loves that camera angle. Why is it shot from anything else?
It is the most optimal angle to
Which
see.
Which angle are you guys talking about here?
Where you can see just above the middle rope from hard cam, where it's kind of like pointed down.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can see, like, the ring takes up most of the middle, like, of the frame.
There's an ad here for Survival of the Fittest. I love, like, Survival of a Fittest is like a tournament format.
Yeah.
Like, I love, one, I just like having qualifying matches.
Yeah.
Two, that gives you a shit ton of matches with not that many fucking guys on the show. And I like that it goes into a big match, but it's still elimination. So you still have that whole, like, you're going to eat a fall or you're going to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
Really, really fucking enjoy that. Our next match on this loaded show, though.
Our main event.
Yeah.
Should have been the opener.
All right, go to hell.
Briscoes versus Jimmy Jacobs and Steve Corino. There was so much about this that I was just, like, befuddled by. First and foremost, love the Briscoes.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Briscoe is a national treasure. R.I.P. Jay Briscoe.
One of the best tag teams ever.
Yeah, definitely. Top five DOA.
Inarguable. So it was great to just be like, oh, fuck, it's the Briscoes. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, yeah.
Love that. I like Jimmy Jacobs. I like Steve Corino. This was weird to me.
It was structured in a way that was not compelling.
Yeah, yeah. I can go with you on that.
You know?
I felt like Jimmy was out of a lot of this match. Until the end.
Yeah, he's not doing much here.
Corino, though, is moving in a lot of this, and I thought was struggling to do it, but...
He always just kind of looked like that, though.
Yeah. Brayden, you got notes on this match?
There's one thing... Okay, there's a little thing that Corino and Jimmy Jacobs do that I actually liked, this little sequence, where... So Jimmy's sitting on the middle rope with his boots up.
Mm-hmm.
Corino goes to throw the dude in there. He reverses it. He stops himself. Dude charges in. Bypass. Jimmy puts the boots back up. and then he hits him anyway. So there's a little bit of a dip in there. Yeah, I'm like, that's cool. Mark Briscoe gets in there and does this kung fu bit for too long. Because I was with it, and then I wasn't. And then Jimmy Jacobs backflipped off of a fucking Glen, and I was like, there's no need for that silliness.
It didn't feel like they were taking this match that serious.
No, not at all.
And in that respect, it was... Great pick,
Connor. Great pick. Overall.
No, not at all.
I also didn't know that Carino was working this late.
I didn't know he was working this hard this late. Because I was like, man, you're doing some things. I know it's because the Briscoes are making you do things.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Briscoes' in-ring work is so... It's so crisp. They have such a snap on everything. I don't think Marcus missed a beat.
No.
Like, he's just that weird explosive...
You can watch any era Mark Briscoe, and he moves almost the same, except for he's just gotten a little bit older.
Yeah.
Like, there's just some stuff he doesn't do anymore.
Right.
And that's about it. I would love to see Mark Briscoe versus AJ Styles right now.
Oh, man. That would be fucking amazing.
Dude.
And it would be the best version of that match.
Yeah. Because they would trim out all the stuff that they're like, we ain't fucking doing that. You know? But, like, here's what we got.
Yeah. How long do you guys think this tag was?
Oh, man, I don't know, 12 minutes.
I'm going to go, and I'm going to hedge my bets here, with 9 minutes and 11 seconds.
Okay.
I'm going to say 15.
God. Braden with the lone point of the day, I guess. It was 12:45.
First off,
my friend. Or no, you. Yeah. Yes. 1-1.
Yes.
My bad.
It's a tiebreaker.
I noticed also... That this point that like Ring of Honor had a million show names for every show.
Yes.
Because they just wouldn't put numbers onto things. So like because
Gabe was doing Evolve by that point, right?
You're right, yeah, yeah, yeah. Big time, big time.
So they had to like to differentiate it. They were like, everything has a fucking name and a theme.
The fucking Glory by Honor thing in Canada for Elgin's title shot being called an Unbreakable Hope. Where I saw that and I just went, go fuck yourself. Like,
this was when they had like fucking Border Wars and fucking something something hostage crisis.
Right.
And
Jesus.
Dude, like, yeah, they had a bunch of ridiculous show names.
Ring of Honor presents Iran Contra. Fucking. So then they show highlights of Eddie Kingston versus Kevin Steen.
Yeah.
And I was like, this was at the point Here's the thing. There was stuff in the highlights that I was like, oh, okay, cool. That actually looks like something I would enjoy. But my problem at this point, watching this is such a sports... I hate saying it this way, but I don't have a different way of saying it. A sports entertainerized version of the Ring of Honor that I knew... That I was like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
You know who fits that mold perfectly? That's a really great sports entertainer in general, honestly.
Mm.
One, our very own Pretty Hate Machine.
Oh, yeah.
Connor Hopkins. You're a great sports entertainer, dude.
But, like, I hate saying it, but, like, it was just that thing where I was like, okay, I'm watching.
Shut the hell up and go to hell.
I'm trying to compliment you.
I was just kind of like, I don't like that version of Ring of Honor because I still remember like the live show experience and shit. And I was like, I don't want to see like TV tropes like restarting a match and this, that, and the other in my Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
I want to see that other places for sure. Like, something, a match structured like that and doing that bit in like Prime Era NXT, I'm like, fuck yeah. This sounds awesome. I just don't want to see it there.
Ring of Honor was never meant to be a fucking TV show.
I agree.
It was meant to be a DVD selling machine.
Yeah.
It was meant to be filmed in 4:3 aspect ratio.
Yes.
Yes.
360p.
We can't get 480.
We can get 480.
Please. Yeah.
Okay, see, this one was locked at 360, and I was like, is Roderick Strong looking... Where is he going? Like, I need at least 480. But that... And I need the audio to be as crunchy as possible.
Yeah.
And the...
Yeah. Thank you.
That's what I need. When they go nuts for something, I need it to clip the audio.
That very specific sound of a loud ROH show, like, goddamn.
They're banging the fucking guardrails and shit.
When people could use licensed music and the banging on those guardrails in beat with a song, I'm so glad that we got to experience that. I wish every person on Earth had gotten to experience
that. It seems
that.
The closest thing to a wrestling religious experience that you can have.
Dude, just like, and everyone's like on board. Everyone is on board with the fucking show. Like, they're all there to try to have a good time. So you actually had to have a pretty fucking bad match for the ROH crowd to turn against you.
Yeah.
Like, I know that people always discern them as like, oh, these harsh fans, this, that, and the other. I'm like, I was there, man. It had to be real fucking bad for them to sour on it, because otherwise we're just like, yeah, drop someone on their fucking head!
Yeah, dude, as long as you were giving them what they wanted, like, they didn't care if it was bad or not.
Right. Just as long as it was fucking good.
I know exactly what you mean.
What?
It doesn't matter if it's bad or not, just as long as it's good.
I don't know, just fun
don't overthink it. Yeah. You don't have to explain it. That's exactly what
it means. A match can be bad and also good at the same time.
And a good match can be bad.
That's true.
I kind of want to watch Sid versus Goldberg tonight. All right, on that note, let's shut this bad boy down. I would not recommend
this
show.
My last note on this show is just Kevin Steen rules.
Oh, big time.
We didn't really talk about
highlights. I think Kevin Steen's going to be big one day. I think he's got something good.
He's Kevin Steen kid. He has a bright future ahead of him.
Yeah, that's right.
If he's lucky.
Uh-huh. Now, I'm high on pot and news. Gage made that joke earlier when it was just me and him. So.
Thank you for repeating it louder and funnier.
Wait, hopefully gave him credit. That's not what happens in the sketch.
Yeah, you want to watch some I told you I'm trying to be a better person, goddammit.
Okay.
Let me Fair be enough. Fucking nice!
Jesus.
Yeah, asshole.
Alright, shut this shit down.
No, Kevin Steen.
Yeah.
Kevin Steen fucking rules. He's one of the best ROH wrestlers of all time, and he's honestly one of the best Fed guys of the last 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
Which is crazy, because I feel like everybody... Yeah, him? Like, that signing, that experience when those guys were getting signed, and it just felt like, yeah, so, you know, Brian Cage will get a job, you know. Johnny Gargano might get something. Kevin Steen, though, he's
not good.
Everyone else is going to leave, and he'll be the king of fucking Ring of Honor, PWG, whatever the fuck, forever.
He had the intangibles, man.
Big time.
You dedicated this match to Larry Sweeney, and you're getting carried out on a stretcher.
Oh, man.
That's just vicious.
It's so heavy.
Also, he's the best.
The fucking powerbomb through the table for that being the fucking legs up.
Yeah.
I was like, I wouldn't do it, but pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, he drops that line, though, and I was just kind of like, oh, fucking yikes, man. Like,
and then Eddie Kingston gets in thinking that he's somebody at all and loses.
Yeah. Lead. Unbelievable.
Click that shit, bro.
That's good stuff. It's good stuff.
It's dragging. It's dragging.
I actually want to fucking do an ROH on HDNet show proper.
Yeah, we actually should do one.
Because the production value is actually a little higher on that.
Yeah. We'll research it, but I'm going to go home and go to bed now.
You go home and go to bed now.
Shut it down.
Shut this shit down. Bye. What are we even doing?